Everyone has, when they were growing up, dangers that they faced. And of course, as young children, we didn't know what they were. And parents are acutely aware of the dangers that their children might face. And very quickly, as soon as they have the ability to do so, they begin to explain to them the dangers of the terrain or of the animals or insects that might be of grave danger to them. I remember in California, the black widow spider. And to this day, when I see a certain spider web, my senses go up and my concern grows because I understand the danger that that particular insect could create for us. And so as we grew up, depending on where we were raised and depending on these factors, each one of us has certain animals or certain insects or certain terrain that leaves us with the sense that we're in danger or that we're at risk or that we can't just be at ease, that we need to be cautious, that we need to be careful. And so I'm going to skip that one. Oops, I guess I'm not going to skip that one. When James talks about the tongue, he gives us that same warning that we are in the presence of a grave danger. He says all animals can be tamed. Every kind of animal, whether it's poisonous or whether it is a predator, fangs, claws, jaws, the paws of animals, they're deadly. And so the spiritual application is every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And it's always a fascinating thing to watch this because what we've been taught to fear and dread, these people are treating like there's no fear and there's no dread. Now, the whole while that they're doing their thing with that animal, you and I are just kind of watching, waiting, hoping that nothing's going to happen because we have that sense of dread. And what God is wanting us to understand here is that the tongue can never be tamed. So that same feeling that I have when I see a black widow spider web, that same feeling that you might have when you hear a certain noise or you see a certain thing or you are in the presence of a certain set of dangers, should be transferred to the tongue because no man can tame the tongue. The tongue can never be made safe, no matter how righteous we are. No matter how godly, no matter how many years we've been a Christian, the tongue is something that needs to be feared. I don't mean terror, I just mean it needs to be recognized as being a very dangerous thing that we need to be so careful and we need to put our highest caution and our highest protective measures up whenever we're using the tongue. So the same fear and dread that we have felt since our youth for the dangers around us, that makes watching these men and women who can tame them and use them in ways that we would never be able to do so, God says, now I want you to understand something. You're watching those things, but I want you to understand you can never do that with your tongue. So, first of all, he calls it a restless evil. The word restless means unstable. And that's what an animal is, tamed or otherwise. It's unstable. Every once in a while, we read of a tamed animal who kills its trainer. Because animals are unstable. They're unsettled. They're inconstant. And once they start their movements, you can't really restrain them. And that's the danger of a serpent. It's the danger of a lion or a tiger or any of these predators that we have to deal with. So what we fear in a tamed animal. So they can be calm one minute and then they can strike and kill without warning the next. Now, what God wants us to understand is that's how our tongue is. One minute, our tongue is kind, it's gentle. The next moment, it can be poisoned and deadly. And you and I understand that it's the motion, it's the emotions behind the words that cause the problem. And so the greatest danger that we face is the instability of our emotions. One minute, we feel love, we feel calm, we feel peace, we feel wonderful, and our words reflect those feelings. The next moment, there's anger or bitterness or jealousy or greed or covetousness, and our words shift and they become deadly, not only to the people around us, but to our own soul. And so it's the situation that we need to be aware of is really, I think, set forth here. When we are under the influence of any of these works or any of these lusts, whatever words we're using, we're going to regret it later. Whatever these emotions, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness, on the one hand, which create the immoral activities of the human race, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and of course, every one of them is going to influence the tongue. So when I'm drunk, my tongue is going to be unloosed and things are going to be said that should never be said. When we're under the influence of anger or hatred or jealousy or wrath or ambition, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, and each one of us, hopefully at this stage in our Christian life, knows which emotions we're struggling with and knows which parts of the tongue we need to be the most careful with. And the truth is, in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we'd all agree that these have a tremendously positive influence on our tongue. Because when we're under the influence of love, or when we're under the influence of joy, or long-suffering, or kindness, or goodness, or faithfulness, the words are going to reflect it. So just like a wild animal can be standing there one minute and charging and pouncing and killing the next, the tongue can do the same thing. And God wants us to recognize that. It's a very interesting passage, James chapter 3. He talks about the tongue as a fire. He talks of the tongue as a wild animal. He talks about the tongue as a restless evil. He talks about the tongue as being full of deadly poison. And the entire purpose of James chapter 3, which starts with, "Be not many of you teachers," because words just keep flowing out, is the understanding that God's recording these words, and we need to be watching these words, and we need to be repenting and confessing these words. Words are not private sins most of the time. We talk about what we do if we commit a sin in our minds and we repent to God. When we commit a sin that involves another person, then we confess to God, but we also need to confess to the person. Words move us from the realm of private sin into the realm of public sin. And that's why at the end of each day, hopefully all of us are going back through our words to think about and understand, is there something I said today that I shouldn't have said? And 99 times out of 100, it's really easy, because if you felt any emotions that you shouldn't have felt, then all you have to do is look around those words. Just like when you see the black widow spider web, you know to be looking around there. He's not going to be off somewhere else. He's going to be 99 times out of 100 right there. When you feel anger, look at the words. Assess the words. Did that anger come out? When we feel jealousy, when we feel any emotion, then we focus on those emotions. Because again, as our heart shifts from one emotion to another, so do our words. And so once we identify, okay, these are my works of the flesh, these are my weaknesses, then either don't talk when you're under the influence of those things, or be very, very careful. Now the second thing God says about our words are that it is full of deadly poison. Now it's interesting, he says the tongue is a fire that sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Here, he says, the tongue is full of deadly poison. I don't think this is an illustration. I don't think this is a parable. I think it's a reality. Satan's words to Eve were full of deadly poison. and they killed her. Just as surely as a serpent biting a man will kill the man. In Psalms 140, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps, asp of course is a very deadly serpent, is under their lips. So the tongue is a very dangerous instrument. And again, I think the whole purpose of this is for us to be concerned, to increase our concern, to increase our watching, our alertness. When we're driving down the road, we have a very different set of emotions than when we're sitting in front of our television seat, or excuse me, in front of our television set in a recliner. In a recliner in front of a television set, our senses are down. We're not really too concerned about anything. I mean, we're always monitoring. You're listening for noises. You're watching for smells. I mean, we're never completely off. But when we're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour, and we're scanning and looking for dangers on the road, dangers of oncoming traffic, dangers of children off to the side, we look for those things. And so what God is seeking from us is a great concern about what's going to come out of our mouth. So a serpent's poison will kill the body, but the tongue is an emotional poison. When a fire goes through a forest, there's nothing left but ash. And so many times when an angry man starts lashing out with his tongue, when he's finished, there's a lot of just ashes left because a lot of emotions get burned away when those things are happening. So we need to hold the tongue in the same fear and awe as a deadly serpent or a deadly spider or a scorpion or any other creature that creates a sense of dread and a sense of fear. And that's how we need to look at the tongue. Because the one difference between a cobra, an asp, or a viper is that they can be tamed. You can have a tamed animal, and that handler has very little fear. He knows how to approach and he knows how to deal with that animal. Can't do that with the tongue. Even the closest loved ones are at risk to the damage of the tongue. And we just need to be aware of that. I'm not saying that every one of us has a tongue that's uncontrolled. But I am saying that even if we think we have it under control and we really think we've got it tamed, just mark it down, you don't. And one of these days, something's going to come out of your mouth that you can't believe came out because we just got a little bit lax. And you can't bring those words back. So we need to have a very important attitude toward the tongue. So there needs to be a fear and a respect at the terrible power of the tongue. And there's so many scriptures that illustrate that. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So if you talk for 20 minutes, if you talk for a half an hour, if you talk for an hour, just go back through the words and you'll find something that would have been better left unsaid. Some gossip or some word that had a little bit of cynicism in it, a little bit of a poison in it to damage, slander, or some other thing. So Proverbs chapter 10, he who restrains his lips is wise. He who has knowledge spares his words. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. There is more hope for a fool than one who is hasty in his words. So every one of these verses contains the same germ, the same thought of the concern of a fire, the concern of a deadly animal, the concern of a poisonous serpent, the concern, the dread, the fear, the respect, the awe, and even the terror, depending on the circumstances. And so these passages, if you talk too much, you'll sin. If you restrain your lips, you're wise. If you have knowledge, your words become fewer and more carefully uttered. Whoop. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. I think most Christians leave that behind pretty quickly. I think most of us, we stop the terrible slanders, we stop the terrible cursing and the terrible things that we say about other people. We get rid of that, but this is where it can go. And this is the concern that we need to have. And so I just read that one. But deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, a worker of deceit. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Again, I'm using a lot of these verses again and again. But the point is just to simply help us understand. God wants us to hold the tongue with respect, with fear, and concern. And we need to know when to stop. Because self-control with the tongue is probably one of the hardest things. These words need to be said. They need to be said right now. And they need to be said by me. Now, the minute we get under that emotion, we better stop and maybe say, this is not the time. If I still feel this way tomorrow, then it will be the time and it will be the place and I'll be the one to do it. But right now, I don't have any confidence. And this is a struggle that we all face, some more, some less. And again, if we're prone to anger, then we need to be careful with the tongue. And this is something I've had to learn through the years and still have to learn. About the time you think, oh, I've got it tamed now, here it comes again. And it's just so sad, but it's something that God wants us to recognize. So we need to recognize the dangers we face. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. So what's the Lord trying to get across to us here? Is he saying we should never talk to each other? Well, certainly he's not saying that. But when we're under the influence of certain emotions, the tongue becomes the serpent. Tongue becomes the lion or the tiger. It becomes the dangerous insect or the dangerous animal. And at that moment, just like we are, when we hear, if we're walking down a trail and we hear a rattle, we know there's a rattlesnake, we don't keep walking. We stop, we look around, we try to find it. We're not going to move until we know the danger is past. Because we're in a dangerous situation. Is it a terror situation? No, it's not a terror situation. But that rattlesnake's not tame. And we know that if we step on it, it's going to inconvenience us. It probably won't kill us, but it's going to ruin the day. And so we're careful. Well, God says, that's the attitude I would like to see with you and your tongue. When you feel anger coming on, that's like the rattle of a rattlesnake. You stop and you close your mouth and you start giving careful consideration to what those words are going to be. And a lot of times, as he says, the best thing to do is just not speak under those circumstances. Because it can't be bridled, so we have to keep it caged. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Here and in the world to come. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If you think you're spiritually minded, if you think you're religious, if you think that you have a good relationship with God, that you are like Cornelius, that your prayers and your alms have gone up, you are a very spiritually minded religious person, but you don't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving. And this isn't what I say. This is what the Holy Spirit said. That religion is useless. Because it's not just a danger to others. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. Now again, it's not just the emotions in the heart, it's the words that come out of the mouth. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Now, it's interesting that he makes the same application that James does. And that is that the deadly poison is coming from the emotions that are coming out of the mouth. What are the emotions? Murder, evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. They start in the heart. And it's still sin, even if it just starts in the heart. It needs to be repented of, but it's still a private sin. It's still a sin that needs to be confessed to God, but it has not left the mouth. It has not done the damage, and it is a much better set of circumstances. So verse 17 again, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach as an eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Now again, it's not what's coming from the heart, it's what's proceeding out of the mouth. And so it's a grave danger. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Now that's what we were saying. In the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. When we're under those emotions, whatever comes out of our mouth, it's going to be pure, it's going to be holy, it's going to be wholesome. So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So here again, if we look at the works of the flesh and we look at those terrible emotions, those terrible lusts that are created in the heart, if those things proceed out of the mouth, then an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why we can never tame the tongue, because we can never get ourselves in a position where a temptation... What does God say? Let no man say that he is tempted, that he is tempted of God, for each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And we never know when that's going to happen. And so the mouth can only speak good things when the heart is filled with good treasure. So when we're under the influence of a negative emotion, the best thing to do is understand we're in the presence of a deadly danger, a deadly poison, and we need to keep it out of the mouth. So looking at the verse as a whole, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, we can accept this. We can act on it. And I hope that as we've gone through this lesson, you've been able to say in your own heart, yeah, check, 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 check. Yeah, I've been doing these things. This sermon has left me feeling not comfortable, but at least understanding that I'm growing in this and that most of the danger has been contained. And does that leave it out? No, but it's good to be aware of this. It's good to understand. It's good to look at our tongue and say, I treat my tongue the same way as all the other deadly things that are around me. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Keep in mind, I didn't emphasize this earlier, but in Matthew chapter 11, he says, every idle word that a man will speak, he will give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words will be condemned. Every idle word. Well, what does that mean about the not idle words, the ones we really mean? Well, of course, we're going to give an account of them as well. And so when we're cursing men, and when we're using our tongue, like the devil, to corrupt other people, the more we're using our tongue crush, to hurt, to rend, to poison, to damage. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? That never happens. If it puts forth sweet water, it's always going to be sweet water. If it changes to bitter water, then you're not going to go there anymore because it's always going to be bitter water. It can't change from time to time. Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Well, what's the point of that? I mean, it's an interesting parable about a fig tree, about water coming out. The point is, as Jesus told the people, by your fruits you will know. If bad words are coming out of my heart, as Jesus said, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, that's where the words are coming from. So I can tell a lot about myself, and you can tell a lot about yourself by the words we use. Can a fig tree bear olives? Well, what's the obvious answer? No, it can't. So can a word, a vile word coming from our mouth, come from a pure heart? Well, no, it can't. Well, what does that mean? It means my heart was not pure for that moment. And worse than that, now somebody else knows because it came out of my mouth. And that's the real problem. The mouth is the window from which I and you can see another person's soul. And that momentary lapse, think of the people who heard Peter cursing, swearing, lying about his relationship with Jesus. Think about the people who heard that. And then some of them were there in Acts 2 and heard him preach that sermon. That wasn't a good thing. That should have never happened. Now, God was merciful, but there were probably some people who would never quite be able to get over the poison that came out of Peter's mouth. And you say, well, shame on them then. Well, yes and no. The fact of the case is, he caused someone to stumble by those words, and you can never take them back. You can come back the next day, oh, I was just angry, oh, I was just this, oh, I was just that. But the damage could be done. And so all this lesson is designed, because all that God is trying to help us understand here is that our tongue is going to get some of us hung. It's going to get some of us cast into hell. Because if you can't bridle your tongue, your religion is what? Useless. Well, useless means it's not going to do me any good, which means when I stand before God on the last day, my religion is not going to do me any good, which means I won't be saved. So, find out what they are. Like I said, if you're only producing figs, you're safe. But if this fig tree has also got some olives on it, or also got some things that are not supposed to be there, we need to repent. Not just to ourselves, not just to God, but to the person who heard the words. They deserve to be told, you did not see the real me yesterday. What came out of my mouth was not really what I am. If we don't do that, that person will never, ever see us any differently because we never reflected it. We never changed it. We became that spring that for that moment was putting out bitter water. As far as they're concerned, that's what comes out of our mouth. So we have to fix it by having good words come out of the mouth to undo the bitter words that came out. And so this is a short lesson, just a lesson to give us an opportunity to reflect on what kind of person we are based on the words that come out of our mouth. If we're sharp, if we're cruel, if we are impatient, if we are rude, if we are lying or cheating or cursing or tempting other people with the emotions that we have and coming out in our words, God's noting that and he's marking it down. It's very dangerous, but it's very clear because we can see it. So as we open our songbooks now to the Song of Encouragement, which is number 232, I just hope that all of us will carefully reflect on our words last week, week before, 10 years ago versus now, how we are controlling our tongue, and maybe there's someone in this room that needs to go out tomorrow and apologize to somebody. Maybe there's someone in this room who needs to come forward. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't need to do anything. But as we sing this song of encouragement, it gives each one of us a chance to reflect, a chance to give careful consideration to the tongue, and a chance for each one of us to clear ourselves so that when we stand before God, those idle words, as we give an account of them, we can say, Lord, yes, I said that, but you know the next day I went back and apologized to that person, and you know that I asked you for forgiveness, and I'm still so ashamed that those words came out of my mouth. As we sing the song of encouragement, if there's anything we can do for anyone, would you please make it known while we do stand and sing?